Welcome back to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Today, our subject is natural therapies for respiratory infections. We're talking to health educators and master herbalists Carl and Joan Robinson. They're co-founders of the dietary supplement manufacturer Cedar Bear Naturals, and they're well-versed in pharmacognosy and pharmacology. Really understand this stuff from a very sophisticated standpoint. It's herbal medicine is a lot more than just old wives' tales and folklore. There's some true science to it, and these folks are experts in this field. Before we get back to a discussion of specifics, certain herbs, we're going to talk this segment about Oregon graperoot, which is a source of berberine, a potent antimicrobial, and elderberry and garlic and all the popular herbs. Lomatia is a popular one as well for respiratory problems and immune problems. Joan, you have a sort of a comeback story. You had a challenging autoimmune condition, and part of the reason why you're involved in this is that you overcame it utilizing natural means. So are you willing to share with us some your story?
That's right. My family has a lot of autoimmune issues. My mother had MS. Her sister had lupus, and her daughter and her granddaughter. So that we have a lot of autoimmune conditions that's genetically predisposed in my extended family. So I, having been a very, very type A person growing up, I pushed my immune system into that area and had a severe MS type breakdown of my health. It had been reoccurring and getting increasingly stronger until then. I married an herbalist.
That was good choice.
Yes, I had grown up in a family of take two aspirins, wake me in the morning, with my father being a very fine internist, but not at all interested in alternative views.
He was very traditional establishment medicine.
Yes, absolutely.
That must have been fun when it came to meet the parents. It's like you brought home an herbalist. Couldn't you do better? I mean, at the very least, I thought you'd bring back a neurologist or a neurosurgeon.
He actually said to me later on, just a few years before he passed away, he said, "You know, Carl, I respect what you're doing, what you've accomplished. I just can't agree with herbalism and natural medicine." And I said, "You know, Tom, that's okay. I appreciate the recognition and the recognizing that I am still doing the good work." He says, "Yeah, you're doing the good work. I just don't agree with it."
It's tough to reform a dyed-in-the-wool internist.
You know, I didn't take it personal. It's just he came through a period in the 1940s and 50s where anything outside of the established orthodoxy was heresy, and it was very, very well indoctrinated into him. So for me, I understood.
I managed to achieve escape velocity from that indoctrination, but I understand that. So, Joan, proceed with your story.
At one point, I had such an immediate crash of my immune system that I lost the ability to walk. I couldn't, unassisted. I had to really be helped. I was severely, severely ill. And we researched, we studied, and we applied the things that Carl had been working with for quite a few years, and the herb products that he had begun working on and developing. And with that, with diet, with a lot of meditative work, I had to do a lot of self-inner healing. Visualization work. I was able to turn that condition around. And one of my visualizations was, someday I am going to go hiking and walking in the mountains again, like we love to so much. And a couple of years later, I was hiking in the mountains, and I realized I had achieved that visual goal. And I sat down and cried, tears of joy. It was an amazing moment.
Was there a specific dietary component or dietary approach that made a difference for you?
Oh, gracious.
Oh, yeah, there was. We had to go with unsaturated fats, lower that.
Totally gluten-free.
Totally gluten-free.
I was probably one of the first people to have to go totally gluten-free.
Very, very careful with dairy intake. Shellfish. She had to, we love shellfish, go up to Seattle where her family's from, and just have feasts when we got there. We had to stop that. The other thing was also just being very careful as far as not eating any one particular food or food group, overeating, but having a lot of variety, moving between different kinds.
So you're sort of a rotation diet.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very
absolutely.
Heavily so, because my body has had about 3 periods of time where it became extremely allergic to almost all foods. So I had to...
You're a universal reactor.
Yes. So it had to really focus on healing the digestive system, so digestive enzymes and probiotics. A very, very... We did a comprehensive program.
Great. And we stuck with it. You know, a lot of people, compliance is very, very difficult because we live in a society that's quick fix, wants instant gratification, especially here and in the Western Hemisphere, as far as America is concerned. And, you know, we sat down and determined this is going to be a long haul. It's going to take some time, and you just have to be committed to it, consistent, and do it.
Well, that's a very exciting comeback story, that, and you certainly embody some of the principles that your company promotes in using natural products. So coming back to some of the most important herbs for respiratory problems, lomatium is less well known, but it's actually a very, very important herb for viral infections. So tell us about that plant.
Well, an old traditional herbalist who he wasn't into the science side of herbalism as much as he was into the ethnobotanical use of herbs, spent some time, his name was Barlow, he spent some time working amongst the Indian tribes of the Rocky Mountain, Intermountain area of the United States. And he came across some information concerning the Blackfeet tribe up in northern Idaho, who the other Indian tribes didn't like them very much, and they were kind of isolated. But during the flu pandemic of 1918, people going through the area noted that these people, these Indians, did not have a serious problem with loss of life due to the pandemic, while all the other Indian tribes around in the area were decimated by the pandemic of 1918.
Yes, millions died in that, tens of millions.
Yes, and so what happened was he did a little bit of delving and found that one of the things was very consistent with them that was not being done by the other Indians was they would boil in a community pot this black tea. Actually, it was a decoction. It was just left there to be heated, and everybody would take some of this once or twice a day. It was basically a concentrated water extraction of lomatium.
Now, you said earlier that echinacea wasn't something you would take on a daily basis, so a lot of Americans, I think, are probably taking echinacea to fend off flu and colds. You're not suggesting that, but would lomatium be an alternative for someone who, you know, say... Not even.
No. You'd use it like the echinacea.
That's what he's asking.
Yeah.
Use it more acutely.
It's in the same area for crisis acute intervention. You would not use lomatium because it does the same thing. It stimulates the immune system.
Okay.
Its target, though, with as far as the body systems it works with, is those parts of the immune system that deal with viruses.
Okay. So it's more – the echinacea we're feeling is maybe more antibacterial, that arm in the immune system, and lomatium is more antiviral. So that would be something you might take on an acute basis if you felt like you were subject to a viral infection of some kind.
Yes. Now, if you want something that's going to be taken over long range and can be done preventatively that strengthens the body's immune system that deals with viruses, that would be elderberry.
Okay.
Oh, I do want to tell a lomatium story, though.
Okay.
And that was in December when this flu hit our area. We gave a bottle, because we do liquid herbs. They're wonderful. We gave a bottle of lomatium to each of our employees because half a dozen out of 20 came down sick all at once. We said, okay, guys, here's some echinacea, here's some lomatium, and go home. You're in the middle. These are good to take when it's all around you.
Right.
And but one gentleman, that's Alex, mm-hmm. he said, and he was sick. He said the next day, he said, "Oh my gosh, I could tell the difference."
Yeah, wow. he felt the shift in his body.
Yeah, he was amazed.
So it enabled his immune system to more quickly overcome it. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. great. That's great. So you're talking about elderberry as a general
yes,
preventive.
Well, elderberry, fabulous. It's delicious.
Yeah.
It's one of the yummiest of all the herbs elderberry is.
It's very building because it possesses a complex citricated antioxidant components. And it also, I can't remember right off the top of my head, it has another group of components that help the immune system to deal with viruses. Now, interestingly, these kinds of herbs actually possess a slight interferon stimulating activity. As a physician, you know what I'm talking about.
Sure.
For the listeners out there, interferon is a part of our immune system. But what it is that interferon is the messengers that go out from the immune system and go throughout the body and say, you have an imminent incursion taking place. This part of the immune system needs to kick on. And then if that part of the immune system is not able to do what it does, then it says it kicks it up to the next level. And that's what interferon does. It sequentiates and it does things on a hierarchical level of making sure the immune system is communicating with each other because interferon is the communicators. Consider them kind of like the message carriers in a battlefield.
Okay. So with elderberry, you would take it as a tea or you would take it as a tincture? Maybe a cup of elderberry tea daily during flu season and mm-hmm. cold season, mm-hmm. that might be appropriate.
It has so much in the spectrums of antioxidants that it's very, very good as that free radical fighting herb. So it has multiple uses.
Now, Oregon grapefruit that you mentioned earlier is another one of those herbs that really does not work really well as a preventative. It's more in the league of the lomatium and the echinacea, best taken when you're confronted with an imminent incursion or if you've been incurred upon.
The active ingredient is berberine, which is actually a powerful antimicrobial. Golden seal used to be one of the major sources of that, but is it because golden seal is virtually going extinct that they now have turned to Oregon grapefruit as a source?
It's not commercially sustainable. Golden seal, it also contains hydrostine, which is even a more powerful
side
of the equation.
Used to be used as eye drops, golden seal.
Oregon grapefruit is referred to as poor man's golden seal.
Okay.
Because it's very, very available.
Yeah.
So, all right, so that could be part of your arsenal if you mm-hmm. fall sick. Now, the other, in terms of, my own personal tradition, chicken soup with lots and lots of garlic was an
Absolutely.
Antidote to any kind, whatever ails you. And
we had a lot of chicken soup with garlic this winter.
Oh, man, Joan did some soup. And she knows what she does is when the stock gets down a little, she'll build on it. So you get this complexity that's wonderful. After about 2 weeks of having eat chicken soup at least once every day, I finally said, listen, I need a break.
But
it's a good thing because you guys live together and you're married and, it's yeah. as long as you both do it, it's okay.
Yeah, that's kind of the way it is.
The garlic. Well, garlic's an amazing, amazing natural health support for so many, many reasons. But
stimulates the NK cells, the natural killer cells, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So
yeah.
In the wintertime, when you're having problems, I have actually, garlic has kicked some severe bronchitis issues or even going into pneumonia for me because you chop it up, fresh garlic, you leave it for 15 minutes because airing it allows those natural constituents to
It allows the
activate.
Allicin to activate.
That's it.
Allicin to activate, which is a sulfur-based component that acts like a sulfolamide without the negative downsides of the sulfolamide drugs. And there's a story concerning garlic that I'd like to share. And
mm-hmm.
During World War I, the eminent pioneer herbalist for modern herbalism here in America, Dr. John Christopher, he actually served in the military, and he was on the battlefront in the Belgian, in the Belgian front, where all the death and mayhem mm-hmm. was.
Flanders, the fields of Flanders and so on.
Flanders. He was actually there. And they ran out of sulfolamides because penicillin had not been discovered yet. That didn't happen until just prior to World War II. And so they only had sulfolamides. And they would use those drugs usually as a dry powder and put it directly on the wound. But they ran out. And they had wounded. He was a corpsman. Limbs having to be cut off, people having to be bandaged up and everything. And they were getting gangrene, sepsis, and all that. And he was a junior corpsman. His commanding, the corpsman over him came to him and said, "Do you have any suggestions?" He says, "Yeah, I do. We're living in an area here where they grow garlic like it's coming out of our ears. Start gathering garlic up and mashing it into a poultice, and let's get it on those wounds because garlic traditionally staunches sepsis and gangrene."
And this, of course, is in the pre-antibiotic era of World War I.
Yes. They had nothing to lose, so they started doing it. And Dr. Christopher did this, and he was credited by his commanders with saving hundreds of limbs, thousands of limbs, and hundreds of lives just with garlic.
Did you hear that story directly from him?
I got it from his son.
Uh-huh. Because he was one of your mentors.
Yeah. Well, he referred to it, but I got the details from his son.
Amazing story.
Yeah. And that is quite an amazing story.
By the way, it's a factual story. It really happened.
So another of the herbs that is considered important for immune system support is yarrow, which has a funny name, Achillea, which sounds like Achilles. There's a story behind that, right?
That's right. Achillea millefolium. So the millefolium for the millions of little, thousands of little flowers.
And what it was that Achilles, the great Greek warrior, he was also a healer. A lot of people don't know this, but he used to heal his soldiers. His miracle herb, the number one herb that he used, was yarrow. He could put that on and staunch bleeding. He could stop bacterial infections.
They left that out of the movie with Brad Pitt, I think. I'm sorry.
Yes. And he could also bring down the inflammation of a purulent wound. So it became his favorite plant, and the plant was named after him.
Right. So where does that fit into the picture in terms of respiratory infections?
It has an astringent effect. It also reduces inflammation. And yarrow, by its nature, with its high essential oil compounds, is very antiseptic.
So most of us have yarrow in our gardens. So we can take those flower heads and the leaves and dry them and make teas in the winter with them.
For those of us who are urban dwellers, and I've got a patio, but I don't have an herbal garden in it, there are herbs are available in convenient forms, and you've sought in your, with your company, Cedar Bearer Naturals, to provide the benefits of these herbs in a way that is doesn't diminish their natural benefits. So you actually like herbal tinctures. You're more traditional that way instead of offering tablets or pills.
Even more so, Carl developed a process many years ago of something it's not a tincture and it's not an extract and it's better than that.
First of all, we're alcohol-free, totally.
Okay, which is important for a lot of people because there's some people who just, but alcohol is a no-no.
You've got certain people within the Western Christian community that eschew alcohol for religious reasons.
Right, you're in Utah, yeah.
Yeah, but in the Islamic world, the Muslim world, alcohol is totally eschewed from top to bottom, side to side, and a lot of companies out there claim they have alcohol-free products when, in fact, their products are alcohol removed.
They still have vestiges of alcohol. They use alcohol,
and so they still can't use those products, and it's been really problematic for them. Now, I mentioned the Muslim community because they're the fastest growing community as far as natural health product purchases in the world.
That's fascinating. Amazing.
It is. Yeah. And they, so anyway, the thing is, the reason I did not use alcohol, though, had nothing to do with, the religious or the injunctions against, is that from a chemistry 101, you actually learn it in high school chemistry, alcohol possesses denaturing and inert rendering properties. Many of the very components that are being extracted for with
will
alcohol,
be damaged. They'll be damaged by the alcohol.
They are damaged. Yeah. And I ask the question, why would you extract them if it's going to turn around, use alcohol, it's going to turn around and denature or render those components inert?
Yep.
Or, at the very least, necessitate having to use far more of the product to get the benefit that you might get if you weren't using alcohol.
So what's today's intelligent medicine call to action? Because there's a lot of – you shared some amazing information with me today, and I hope our listeners are attuned to it. I've learned a lot. But where can people turn to for reliable information on herbs, and how can they learn more about Cedar Bear Naturale?
Well, first of all, I think radio podcasts, radio shows like yours that are very intimate, that are very much more grassroots level is a very, very good place to go, because you don't have the hype and all the other stuff that goes with it. So that's the first
thing. And we don't do a soundbite journalism. It's, you know,
exactly. And you're not driven by publicity by.
I think a way of saying it is we're not driven by the commercial imperative to get out a quick soundbite and then cut to commercial,
right.
You know, for.
And you're also not driven by trial by media mentality, that if it's sensational, you're going to get in there and just rip the situation apart, even if it's untrue. Like has just recently happened with DNA barcoding concerning identifying herbal ingredients. It's happened in New York.
Brief comment from you on that. I don't want to go too much in depth because we've done some really extensive podcasts on that. You're an herbalist. Can you comment on that situation?
Yes, I can. The products that were tested were ethanolic type compounds and standardized products that were extracted with hot water or ethanol. Well, hot water extractions and ethanol, that's alcohol, denatures and renders the DNA tags inert.
No.
They don't exist.
No.
So even the FDA has not approved DNA barcoding as an approved methodology for herbal ingredient identification. The New York AG had no authority to do what he did. He's supposed to hand it over to FDA or FTC, and then they make that determination. So it's a mess. It's a huge mess.
Well, it's clearly a grandstanding effort by the AG. You know, in New York, Attorney General is a stepping stone to the governorship, and conducting a big PR effort like this garners headlines, and it seems like he's a reform-minded guy who's protecting the consumer. But
he's going to go down for it, though.
Absolutely. I think it's going to backfire, and I think it's going to be a huge fiasco for the Attorney General, because it's a rush to judgment using a faulty methodology, and he should have known better. So
In closing, DNA barcoding, they've only done 100 botanicals to tag using DNA barcoding as well.
Anyway.
And there are tens of thousands out there that they do with HPCL and with other spectrographic analyses that's been approved and has been proven within the scientific community.
So why didn't he use that? Why didn't he use that? You know, it's beyond me. All right.
That's the point for a good education. I would say is our website, cedarbear.com. We do have information on there and a couple of things that can be downloaded as PDFs at no charge or anything like that. The other thing is people just need to read and become informed, but break the trance.
Right.
Don't believe everything you hear. For those of you out there that are pro-vaccine, that's fine. But be willing to listen to the anti-vaccine side, because they have as strong a case as the pro-vaccine does. The thing we don't have behind us is the weight of deep pockets and trial by media. So,
well, you know, it seems like you are a very conscientious seeker of truth, because, you know, on the one hand, you know, you don't espouse the conventional medical model, but you also take issue with simplistic interpretations of natural medicine, you know, which would have everybody take echinacea,
absolutely,
you know, year round. You know, you may undercut your own sales of echinacea by telling people it's not for everyday use. But hey, it's not about selling and moving a lot of product. It's about providing truthful information and having people trust you. And I think you've earned that trust.
Well, Ronald, my business card says clinical and formulary herbalist. I understand the clinical aspects. I would be what's considered a modern eclectic. I don't care if it comes out of orthodox medicine. If it works, and harms no one, use it. And the same with natural alternative. If it works and harms no one, use it.
Well, absolutely. On that note, I want to thank you guys very much, Carl and Joan Robinson. I learned a lot. I'm sure our listeners did. And for more information, you can go to cedarbear.com. Thanks very much for joining us. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.